Hear that John the Baptist is calling us to repent on the second Sunday of Advent, we're likely to cover our ears and hide. Repent? Now? No thanks. I'll get to that in January. Right now, I'm decorating the tree and stuffing stockings and buying presents, pushing hard for a bonus at work, writing term papers and studying for finals, juggling the kids' activities and balancing the checkbook. Did you say repent? Could you please not bring up that subject so close to Christmas? I'm too busy for that, geez. And besides, it sort of spoils my merry mood. But there is method in the madness of this Advent calling us to account. Get ready, says John the Baptist. God is being born in us and around us and in the heart of our rivals. But we're likely to miss it if we don't wake up. Sorting through our attachments, throwing out our prejudices, dealing with our anger and pride and fear, well, all that is what prepares the Lord's way. Imagine that. It's in us that the Lord makes his way. The kingdom of God has come just that close. If you're like me, there's plenty of chaff to be burned up. Every mountain of self-indulgence and hill of arrogance needs to be made low. Every crooked choice that's caused someone to stumble has got to be straightened out. Every valley of anxiety needs to be faced, traveled through, and opened up. The mirror that God holds up to us flashes like a refiner's fire. And that truth can burn sometimes. But out of those ashes, some resilient roots will rise, says the prophet Isaiah, and we'll have a better, purer self. So at the word of the prophet, we seize our cutting tools as if repentance is all slashing and lopping. And yes, there is pruning to do. But I want to give you another way to see it. The real energy that gives light in the darkness, it's not shame at what is wrong or dead, but delight and hope for the fruit that's alive, that's hidden deep in your soil, deep in the winter bud that's in your heart. Repentance is not the no of self-disappointment, but the yes of seeking, protecting, nourishing what might otherwise be choked off. It's not mere impatience with what is, but patience for what's coming to be. So don't start with the dead branches of your spirit. Start with the fruit that's in you. And let's see just what kind of tree we are. I would argue that true repentance is discovering that you have more to you than you ever dreamed or knew, and seeing your limits as possibilities. It's becoming dissatisfied with expressing only a fraction of what you are and blowing up whatever narrow-mindedness you cling to. It's turning criticism to discernment and taking the risk of surrendering to your whole self and to the other. It's believing that each of us is a child of God, that we have in us to be what God is like, and that God loves our enemy just as much as God loves us, and that we'll find our fullness, our human fullness, only by giving ourselves. Philosopher Sam Keen accomplishes this kind of repentance work, believe it or not, by swinging on a trapeze. You want to hear a story? He offers this same kind of challenge that I'm talking about to troubled kids and abused women with whom he works. Together, they turn and face the wilderness that's within them and around them. Get this, by learning to fly. It can be a comical sight. No one in the group has a leotard that fits very well. And they set up their flying circus in an empty lot near the center of town. But several afternoons a week, these unlikely aerialists patiently climb to the top of the platform and jump into space. And, as it turns out, as they do that, they're also jumping through some of their deepest fears. Let me tell you, many of the women in the program were afraid of loneliness and of not being able to take care of themselves. So for years, they've stayed in destructive relationships. The unknown freedom of standing on their own two feet turns out to be scarier than the devil they know. But flying on the trapeze has given them an experience of swinging alone, of jumping into the unknown, of surviving, and more. And they've also learned something about trust. One woman in the program said, "Let me be honest, I don't usually trust men. I think they're after me all the time. But having Mr. Sam King on the safety lines, and someone else helping me on the springboard, and another man catching me as I let go of the trapeze, well, that's made me evaluate my attitude. And because I'm starting to believe in myself, I can believe in someone else again. I'm my own person now," she says, "and I'm coming out of my darkness." What's true repentance? It's turning from darkness to light. It's turning from death-dealing choices to ones that are life-giving. It's turning from being just part of who you are to embracing all that you can be. And in that, it's preparing a way in the fearsome wilderness of your heart and your mind and your spirit. It's preparing a way in the fearsome wilderness of your marriage or your work. It's preparing a way in the fearsome wilderness of want in our city and in the world. And we do it there because the wilderness is always where we find God and where God is always coming to look for us. I'm going to tell you another story of flying and repentance. The spire of the Cathedral of Ulm in Germany is the tallest steeple in the world, 529 feet. 738 steps take you to the very top. And if you can still breathe and focus your eyes when you get there, you can make out two prominent landmarks, the foothills of the Bavarian Alps south of town and the high bluffs overlooking the Danube to the east. In the late 16th century, a man named Hans Bablinger lived there. He was a maker of artificial limbs, a craftsman with special skills and some local fame for his handiwork. And since amputation was a common cure for ills and wounds at the time, he was a very busy man. But always, as his hands worked, his mind was elsewhere. Because Bablinger was one of those people who imagined he could fly. In due course, he used his skills and dreams and the materials in his shop to craft wings for himself. And as fortune would have it, he chose to try his wings in the foothills of the Bavarian Alps, where upcurrents abounded. So one wonderful day, in the presence of reliable witnesses, Hans jumped off a high hill and soared safely down to the valley below. It was sensational, according to the people gathered. Bablinger could fly. Shift of time and place. In the spring of 1594, King Ludwig and his court are coming to the town of Ulm for a visit. The city leaders understandably want to impress the monarch somehow, and the people agree. Let's get Hans Bablinger to fly for our special visitor. Unfortunately, because it suited the convenience of the king and the townspeople, Bablinger chose the nearby bluffs of the Danube for his demonstration this time. And the winds there are down currents. You can see where this is heading. So the day arrived. Musicians, the king, the court, the town fathers and mothers, and thousands of ordinary folk all gathered at the river. Bablinger stood on a high platform on the bluffs. He waved and crouched and threw himself into the air. But because the prevailing winds were down, he went crashing into the river like a cannonball. It was awful. The next Sunday, from the pulpit of that great cathedral, the one with the highest steeple in the world, the bishop, who was the preacher that day, called Bablinger by name in the sermon and shamed him. He called him out, said he was a fool. Man was not meant to fly, he said, and thundered about it. And Bablinger slumped out of the church, his wings and his heart and his dreams broken. It turns out he didn't know quite enough about aerodynamics, so not enough that he needed to know. Yet, he refused to be defined by his limits or fears, and his courage that day was just enough light. It gave just enough light for the next inventor to read by. Even brokenhearted, Bablinger is the hero of that story in my estimation. He took an awesome, terrifying risk, flying in the face of social and religious structures that would hold him back. And that preacher who knew so much, he was just afraid to leap into the wilderness with him. Repentance turns out to be much more than we thought it was. It's facing some intractable problem. It's facing some real fear. It's facing some way that we don't measure up, and leaning into honest appraisal and courage, and finally, resilience that we didn't even know was there. We didn't know we had it. Repentance is the continual discovery of our true selves. It's our turn towards whatever's difficult. It's our turn towards love. It's realizing that God is already there, right where it's the hardest, always there before us, running to meet us. And how do we prepare the way of the Lord? We prepare the way of the Lord by taking on our own limits, whatever they are. Our own brokenheartedness, our own broken nature, our own sense that we're not enough and we can't be enough and there's never enough. It's facing right into that. Everything the world says is impossible. And going there to that wilderness. And by doing that, we help ourselves and some unlikely neighbor, and we help her spread her wings and fly. Amen.